In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As you may have noted from the various forms of communication, including the Parish Week bulletin insert that you have today, we, the clergy, are preaching on the Psalms during Advent. Advent. I remind you that Advent is a season of preparation and anticipation, which is, in our time and place, totally countercultural. While the world is telling us, don't just stand there, hurry up, the church is telling us, don't just hurry up, stand there. Stand and wait. Something big is going to happen. Just as a way of introducing the Psalms and trying to date the creation of the book of Psalms, I believe it's safe to say that most scholars believe that the Israelites who originated the Psalms and used literary techniques and vocabulary learned that from more advanced neighbors, the Babylonians, Assyrians, and Egyptians. It is thought that most Psalms were composed in pre-exilic times for use in public worship. This would place them then before the exile in 386 BC. Authorship of the Psalms, though often attributed to David, is actually unknown and thought often to be a composite type of authorship, maybe psalm by committee. In any event, of greater importance for our purposes is to understand that the Psalms come in a variety of types. There are hymns, enthronement psalms, lament psalms, thanksgiving psalms, royal psalms, wisdom psalms, liturgies, and pilgrim psalms. There are actually more, but I see your eyes are starting to glaze over, and so are mine. More to the point, the psalm you heard today, Psalm 122, the psalm appointed for this day, is a pilgrim psalm. It's a psalm of joy, expressing love and delight by the pilgrim as the pilgrim is taking leave of Jerusalem. The pilgrim values the city, Jerusalem, not because of its political and economic status, but because it is the place where God's temple is established. Now, the psalm could give you the impression that Jerusalem is a peaceful haven and not affected by the storms and changes of the world. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and quietness within your towers. In point of fact, Jerusalem is probably one of the most unpeaceful cities on the entire planet. It has been conquered and plundered countless times in its 3,000-year history. One source says that in its long history, Jerusalem has been destroyed totally at least twice, besieged 23 times, attacked 52 times, captured and recaptured 44 times. Ever since King David booted out the Jebusites and made it his capital, then handed it off to his son Solomon, who built the first temple, Jerusalem has been a place of importance. For centuries, it has been the center for three major religions of the world: Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. The city has stood for centuries as a symbol both of peace and of conflict. If you read a brief history, I recommend Wikipedia. You can't get briefer than that. You will get the impression of a city standing in the midst of a perpetual storm of hurricane-like proportions. We're going to talk about hurricanes today. You're familiar with them here. We're raising still goods to send down east for folks who were affected by the last hurricane. Hurricanes are so important, we give them names. The name of our hurricane we're still dealing with is Matthew. Thomas Friedman is a writer that I have read from time to time. And I realize I made a pun because he writes for the New York Times. His books, The Earth is Flat and the sequel, The Earth is Flat, Hot and Crowded, were both very informative and engaging. And they both dealt with the phenomena of the digital age, environmental changes, and population growth. I would classify Thomas Friedman as an optimistic but cautionary prophet. But his article last Sunday in the New York Times was called, entitled, Dancing in a Hurricane. Now, he starts out his article by saying he is exploring the phenomenon of Britain's vote to withdraw from the European Union and the recent presidential election in this country. And he says that 2016 is a vintage in history and will long be studied. He then talks about research that he's been doing on what he calls what's happening beneath the surface, the plumbing and wiring of the world. Friedman says, if you want us to understand 2016, you have to first understand 2007. In 2007, Steve Jobs and Apple released the first iPhone. That started a revolution which, interestingly enough, may end up placing an internet-connected computer in the hands of every person on the planet. Facebook, which had been confined just to universities and high schools, suddenly opened up to anyone with an email address and exploded globally. Twitter took off in 2007, the same year that a software we probably haven't heard about called Hadoop began expanding ability and storage capabilities and created what we now know as the cloud. In 2007, Kindle kicked off the ebook revolution and Google introduced Android. In 2007, IBM introduced Watson, the world's first cognitive computer, which can read and understand all the papers of science and then form a fairly good conclusion about an appropriate course of treatment for a cancer patient. 2007, the power of microchips started doubling. The power of microchips, they say, doubles every 2 years at least. So why didn't we stop at the end of 2007 and celebrate? The answer is simple. 2008. In 2008, many were dislocated in the process of economic stagnation and job loss. Many, too, became disenchanted and embittered. All of this fantastic technology is happening all over the world, but many only felt more isolated and left behind than ever before. This occasion was occurring while other changes were happening and accelerating as well. More people in every part of this country who looked and talked and acted differently were surfacing. Community and jobs were feeling destabilized. Many felt that the pace of change was so rapid and pronounced that indeed we felt as if we were standing in the middle of a hurricane of change. Kristen Schrold is a writer who lives in Brooklyn. She is an evangelical Christian from the Midwest who attended a Christian college. She moved to New York City after she got her degree and, of course, immediately started looking for a church and found one in Brooklyn and got very, very involved, as she had always been, in her church. She became a member. She led a Bible study, was involved on lots of different committees. Then she says she also began the next logical part of her life's journey, looking for a husband. To make a long story short, Kristen found the love of her life, which, much to her surprise and dismay, turned out to be a woman. Kristen had great angst over this. She had been well instructed by her previous church experience that this relationship was not appropriate. It was sinful. When she and her loved one named Jess talked to the pastor, hoping to get support, he gave them an ultimatum: break up or leave the church. Kristen now found herself in the midst of a great emotional storm, full of fear and self-recrimination. At the same time, she was confronted with the observation that Jess was the most Christ-like person she had ever known, totally open to others, honest, faithful, giving of her resources. So in the midst of this very frightful storm, the two of them went seeking. Indeed, they found a church, a community that was accepting and caring, one that honored human relationships more than rules. Michelle Thompson is a writer and editor of The Forward Day by Day. She is writing the meditations for the month of November, and in fact wrote the one for today on Psalm 122. Talk about good luck. Peace be within your walls and quietness within your borders, she takes from Psalm 122. And then she recounts a time when she was in Jerusalem visiting the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Now, tradition has it that the Church of the Holy Sepulchre contains the site of the crucifixion as well as the empty tomb. Rochelle and her friend were stood in line for a long, long time. It was getting to be rather tiring. And the time for them to be able to go and see the sites that they were planning to see was coming. And people started pushing and nudging and assuring their places in line. And Rochelle found herself getting in a stance with her elbows out too, just like everybody else. And then she had a realization. And her realization was that she could not visit these holiest sites in all of Christendom with an angry heart. And she pulled herself out of the line and out of the Church of the Sepulchre. She recounts now she could not walk on sacred ground as if she were elbowing through the line for a big screen TV on Black Friday. She got out of that line and the brewing storm. She needed peace within her walls and quietness within her heart, like Jerusalem. In Tom Friedman's article, Dancing in a Hurricane, he compares our high-pressure, always totally wired world to that of being inside a hurricane of choices, decisions, fear, and stress. But he then cites a hope that he found in a ballad by a woman named Brandy Carlile. And the course of that ballad summed it up for him. Here's the course. I wrapped your love around me like a chain, but I was never afraid that it would die. You can dance in a hurricane, but only if you're standing in the eye. In the eye, that's where the peace of God emanates from Jerusalem, like an eye in a hurricane. Metaphorically, with the destruction of the temple, the peace of God is located in the churches and in the hearts of God's people. Pilgrims still come to the spot of that temple. They pray at the wall, trusting that God and God's promises will make us whole, will quieten our storms and the fears that we have. God's peace is in the eye of our storms. Kristen and Jess found the eye when they found a new community of acceptance and faith. Rochelle found the eye when she removed herself from the tension of that line in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Let us pray that St. Paul's is a place where any who comes through that door may find the eye of God's peace from the storms they are fighting, from the fears that they have. May God's peace be in these walls and in this tower. Amen.
Amen.